Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's one of the most powerful messages, truths that we can ever embrace and experience in our day-to-day lives, because it really changes everything.
It does.
Yesterday we talked, or the last couple of days, we've been looking at passages in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. You know, when Jesus died, as some of his last words were this phrase, "It is finished."
Yes.
Well, if you want to know what that phrase means, Hebrews 10 really is the explanation, where the writer of Hebrews compares the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to the sacrifices of the Old Covenant, the blood of bulls and goats. And he said that Old Testament, that Old Covenant, that Mosaic Covenant, was merely a shadow of what was to come, that it wasn't the realities themselves. And then he says in that vein, in that sense, we know that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins.
Correct.
And it's really a simple thing, that the blood of bulls and goats isn't of enough value or worth to take away our sins as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed better blood. We needed more valuable blood. And so all of that represented what was to come in Jesus. Well, Jesus shed his blood once and for all, and because he did that, he took away our sins. And as a result, he has made us holy, he has made us perfect, and he has taken up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. Not
yes.
because he was tired, not because he was, you know, any of those
yeah.
things, but simply because the work was finished. And we're going to put an exclamation point on that today in the high priestly prayer. You know, as Christ is facing death, it's imminent, he knows it's just the next day. He goes to the garden and he's praying but this is kind of a priestly prayer that we're given some insight to in John 17. "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." Without the finished work of the cross, eternal life could not be given to man.
No.
So that's how vitally important the cross is. Without the cross, we'd still be dead in our sins. Without the cross, the cause of death wouldn't have been taken care of.
Correct.
But Jesus took care of it once and for all by shedding his blood on the cross. And so as a result of that, it's been given to him, the authority has been given to him, to grant all those who come to him by faith eternal life. Well, he goes on and defines eternal life, and I think this is one of the most
yes.
brilliant verses in all the Word of God. If you want to know what eternal life is, it's defined for us right here. "Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So what is eternal life? We think of it in terms of longevity. We think of it in terms of, you know, just lasting forever. But Jesus takes it out of that realm and says it's a quality of life that's different from anything that you've ever seen in this world. And that quality of life is tied directly to your knowledge of God. So eternal life is knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. And then he says, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." There's the exclamation point. Jesus Christ completed the work that God the Father gave him to do. What was that work? It was the work of taking away sin, dealing with sin once and for all, so that we could be forgiven people, so that we could experience life everlasting. That's what this basic gospel message is all about. Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast. Plenty of open lines available right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call if you have a problem situation, if you have a passage, if you want to know more about Jesus's finished work on the cross, because it is a truth that will change you dramatically. If you want to know more about that, we would love to talk about that with you on today's broadcast. Let's go ahead and light up the phones right now, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, let's start in Sacramento, California, and talk with Daryl, listening to us on KFIA. Hi, Daryl.
Hi. My question, and thanks for taking my call, is about if John the Baptist was unworthy to unlatch Jesus' shoes, what makes the Syrophoenician woman be unworthy to anoint Jesus' feet?
It's an interesting question, Daryl, and when you look at those passages about John the Baptist, that was his assessment. Yes. And any of us, when we compare ourselves to Jesus, we really aren't worthy to untie his sandals, tie his sandals, do anything. I mean, he is Lord, he is God, he's the one that spoke us into being. That's who this Jesus is. So in light of who he is, his righteousness, we are unworthy. And that was John's perspective, and that's what he was putting forth. Now, the woman who anointed Jesus' feet, she wasn't claiming to be worthy to do so. Jesus made a statement about her and said, this is what this was all about, because her anointing of me is going to live forever and is going to be a reminder of the death that I died. That's what the anointing was all about, and she was doing that as I think God's Spirit was urging her to do. So it's completely different perspectives. John was just speaking truth about his own personal worth in comparison to Jesus's. Absolutely, a statement of humility. And then Jesus was saying about this woman that he has deemed it worthy. And I think that's the good news. You know, we feel unworthy in the sight of God, but Jesus deems us worthy through his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes.
He injects worth into us because he's done something for us.
Yeah, it's that sense of humility, proper humility, not, you know, wipe the floor with me humility, but true humility of who Jesus is compared to me, and the realization of what he has given me that drives the worship that woman demonstrated.
Yes, yes. Does that make sense to you, Daryl?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Thank you.
Well, you were so welcome. Thanks for your call today, my friend. Well, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful free gift to anyone who would like it. It is a little booklet called Forgiveness, The Door to Life. It really examines Jesus's phrase, "It is finished," what that means to us. Can we really be sure that our sins are forgiven? Can we really be sure that we stand in the righteousness of Christ? And if we can, how? That's what this book is all about. We want to put it in your hands. It is free, simply for the asking. Go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Just go to the bottom left-hand corner of that first page, and you will see the offer right there. Click the little icon with the book image and follow all the instructions, and we'll get that book to you as quickly as we can. We want you to have it, as I said, until we settle this forgiveness issue, until we come to the point in our lives that we recognize that Jesus took away all sin, that all sin, past, present, and future, has been forgiven. Until we come to that point, we will struggle in our Christian lives. Yes. Why? Because we're always going to feel like God is mad at us, that God is angry at us, that punishment for us is just around the corner. God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to settle this issue so we can walk through this door of grace and experience the abundance of life in Christ. Get your copy today at basicgospel.net. 844-322-2742. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Eugene. Hi, Eugene.
Grace and peace to you, brothers, in abundance. How are you doing today?
Doing fantastic. How are you, Eugene?
I'm good. I just wanted to make a statement about the new covenant and the old covenant. Can I make the statement?
You can.
Okay. What I want to say is, I think that in the Bible, in the New Testament, when Jesus went up to the mountain of transfiguration and was transformed, and Elijah and Moses came, I just think this is the most underrated scripture of the New Testament for us all to know why the New Covenant is greater than the Old Covenant, because immediately Peter started to do a practice that was from the Levitical law to build an altar to Elijah and Moses and Jesus. And God spoke and told Peter, this is my son that I love, and listen to him. So I just think if we look at what this symbolizes is that don't do this old practice. Listen to Jesus. Follow what he's doing, because you have the mediator of the old covenant that brought the Levitical law, one of the head prophets of the Old Testament, which the Jews are all waiting for, Elijah to come. They're all waiting for him. And you have Jesus. Nowhere in the Bible would you have these major figures in the same place and listen to what God said. So I think if we look at this deeper, we would see how we should follow Jesus instead of following the old covenant.
Well, you're right, Eugene.
I just wanted to get your feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right, Eugene,
yes,
that we do have Jesus in all the prophets, the law, all the books of wisdom. Their sole purpose was to point forward to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus came, they applauded, basically. When we receive Jesus, they applaud. They're part of that group that says, hey, they're getting what we wrote about. They're actually coming to faith in Jesus. They're actually experiencing new life in Jesus. They're actually making the life of Jesus known in this world of darkness. They're doing exactly what this old covenant was telling them,
yes,
about. So I think there's an excitement in the heart of Moses about what we're experiencing by grace through faith in Jesus today. So I don't think Moses has his feelings hurt at all when we say we're new covenant. I think that validates all that God used him for.
Absolutely.
As far as a leader of the people of Israel, but even more so as a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. So I think if we were to ask Moses, you know, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live? I think he would probably quote what he heard at the Mount of Transfiguration. There's Jesus. Listen to him. Trust him. Why? That's what I was telling the folks way back then. We just didn't know exactly who Jesus was. We had some snippets of who he was, but that's what all of those books, those first five books of the Old Testament are about this person named Jesus. So, Eugene, thanks for weighing in on that. We appreciate
it.
Well, let's go to Arlington, Texas, and let's talk to Ann listening to us on KWRD. Hi, Ann. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Well, doing fantastic. Nice to hear from you. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, I was just calling in when Jesus was on the cross and he said, I'm finished. I saw a program, and they said that when Jesus was in the tomb, that his shroud and his head linen were wrapped like the Jewish custom, where they wrapped and they said they weren't finished when they were eating. And so I believe he's not finished. You know, he's coming back.
Well, he is coming back, and
yes,
you're exactly right, Anne, and that's the hope that we live in each and every day, that he is coming back. And he's coming back to get us. He's going to take us to where he is, that we're going to get new bodies, just as he received a new body. But his statement on the cross was very clear. It is finished. And he was speaking of the work that he had to do as far as sin was concerned.
Yes.
In other words, there's not going to be another sacrifice. So, Anne, as far as your forgiveness is concerned, Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was sufficient for that, wasn't it?
Yes.
There's no other sacrifice that needs to be made. So as you rest in that finished work of Christ, you can experience some peace in your own heart. But, you know, the gospel story just isn't the death of Christ. It is the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. And so when we come to him by faith, Anne, he comes to live inside of us through his Spirit. And there are several passages that we see in the New Testament, Philippians 1:6, for example, where Jesus says that he is going to complete the work that he began in us. So there's an ongoing work that Jesus does in us through his resurrected life. But the work toward sin, as far as sin is concerned, that's done. There's nothing more to be done. It's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and we're waiting for him to come.
Yes.
Yes, most definitely.
And yeah. We love him. And thank you very much for your program.
Well, thank you, Ann, and thanks for calling.
We learned a lot.
Well, I sure appreciate you calling in. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, just to say thank you for being one of our first KWRD callers. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send that to you. You hang on.
Thank you.
You are so welcome.
I love the suggestion that she made, the way she asked the question. Jesus was talking about completeness of the sin issue. And now that he's gone back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, he's talking about completeness as our lives are changed. And then there's going to be this eventual completeness when everything is finished. That's powerful stuff.
It is powerful, and it's, you know, we read in the book of Hebrews, where it says in chapter 12 that Jesus, there's a description of Jesus, he's the author. You know, some translations use the word pioneer. He's the one that authors faith, and he's the one that finishes faith. So he brings it to maturity. And we see a lot of that in the New Testament, that Jesus really cares about us. Jesus is concerned about us, and he wants us to really experience that abundant life that he promised. And so he is actively working inside of us every single moment of every single day. You know, sometimes I think we get this picture of Jesus mimics that story of him and the disciples in the boat. You know, they're out and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and this storm comes up and the disciples are just panicked. I mean, they are fearful, they're going to die. And what's Jesus doing? Well, he's asleep up at the front of the boat. And sometimes I think we picture Jesus in that way, that he's asleep, that he's just not interested in what's going on in our lives.
Don't you know what's going on?
Yeah, but that's not the case.
Not at all.
Jesus never slumbers nor sleeps. He's always actively involved within us, inside of us. He cares about every single detail of our lives. Sometimes we think he's asleep because we are so focused on the circumstance that we can't see what he's actually doing. But he's there, he's doing his work, and he's completing his work in us. That's what this gospel story is all about. That's why we can trust him in any given situation. I don't care what you're going through in life. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows how you feel, and Jesus cares for you. And he has the power and the ability and the willingness to make a difference in every single situation.
Yes.
That's the gospel. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer. We certainly welcome your calls. We do have a couple of open lines available right now, 844-322-2742. That's 844-322-2742. Another reminder about our free gift that is available to anyone who would like to know more about forgiveness, who would like to know more about Jesus' finished work on the cross, it is a booklet entitled Forgiveness, The Door to Life. We tell some great stories about people who've come to know the forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. We look at Jesus' words, it is finished, and what that actually means. We look at a number of other passages. It is a wonderful resource. We want to put it in your hands. It is free of charge. Just go to basicgospel.net and click the bottom left-hand corner of the page on the Forgiveness Door to Life icon and follow all the instructions.
Now, we've got an email question here from John, who said, "Now, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior and with a true heart believe he rose from the dead and was a sacrifice for our sins. Why is it that I still like to appeal to my lusts?" Whatever it is, pick your favorite list. If Christ is in me, why do I have a heart to do these things I no longer really want to do?
Well, you don't have a heart to do those
things.
Your heart has been changed, and what's really going on in that heart, or the spirit, that spirit of yours, is a desire to trust Jesus in any given situation. But we do have the flesh still hanging on us, and within that flesh is indwelling sin. And, you know, before coming to Christ, that's where we lived. We were in the flesh. Well, we're not in the flesh anymore. We're in the spirit. But the flesh still tugs at us.
Yes.
The flesh takes the things of the world and makes them look pretty good to us. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, you know, our eyes and our ears and, you know, our senses say, wow, that's going to be happiness for me. That's going to be pleasure for me. And so we give in and we move down that path. And as we do, as we give into it, we find, gosh, that didn't deliver on its promise at all. It's nothing but emptiness. And you say, gosh, why did I move down that way? And then we beat ourselves up. We just have to recognize that's part of this growing in grace. That's part of this growing in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. We see more and more the emptiness of the world and just how much Jesus satisfies us. That's a process. So welcome it and say thank you for it, because God is doing his work.
Yes,
in the middle of it.
He will complete us.
Yes.
If we'll let him do that.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Dallas, Texas, and talk to Jess, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Jess.
Yeah, how's it going?
Fantastic.
I just wanted to get really your comments on two things. And the lady that talked earlier is that, you know, talking about Jesus is, you know, coming back. And I just wanted to point to a scripture in 2 Thessalonians where, you know, just to get your comments on, where Jesus says he's coming back to, you know, really bring vengeance onto those that don't believe the gospel. And so I just want to get your comments, or that don't obey the gospel. So I want to get your comments on how people obey the gospel. So that's kind of one question. And the second question is, how do you obey the gospel? And then just define what is the gospel.
Yeah.
What are people supposed to obey?
Yeah. Jess, excellent
yes.
question. The word obey and the word faith are very closely related. And so when it's talking about obeying the gospel, it's really meaning believe the gospel. That's our response to the gospel. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, we are saved by grace through faith. So obedience to the gospel would be seen as faith or trust in the gospel. And so our obedience to the gospel in a day-to-day situation is simply our trust in the Lord. Why? Because that is the number one priority that God has for each and every one of us. That is what pleases the Lord, when we trust Jesus Christ, when we abide in him, when we depend upon him, when we rely upon him. And as we do, as we walk by faith in Jesus, as we obey that gospel message, we'll see the fruit of God's Spirit being lived out through us. So the fruit of faith in Christ is love for God, love for one another. The fruit of that is peace. The fruit of that is joy. The fruit of that is that entire list of good things. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you on Monday.